Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Few people sent me this crazy story about bureaucracy out of New York City, and ABC 7 New York ran the story. Nina Pineda wrote it. A woman wrongfully fined $259,000 for neighbor's violations in Brooklyn. A Brooklyn homeowner was on the hook for more than $250,000 in fines owed to the city. But there's one catch. All the violations belong to her next-door neighbor. So you wonder how this happens. Well, there is an explanation for it, but the explanation also shows a problem with how New York City conducts business. She's been fighting this ever since her father died and left her the house decades ago. She called 7 on Your Side to see if they could help her with this nightmare. Margaret Wilson inherited the row house from her late dad, Rupert, 20 years ago. Since then, she has also inherited a mountain of violation notices from the city. The pile of penalties range from minor, unpaid sanitation fines to big things like a $60,000 fine for an illegal dwelling and a partial vacate order. In total, the violations add up to $259,000, but the problem was that every violation is actually for the house next door. So the house next door has a street number of 470. Wilson owns 466, but she says that when she tells the city that 470 is not her house, they say when they pull it up on the computer that 470 belongs to her. The city doesn't go by the name on the deed to the house to determine ownership. It simply goes by block and lot numbers. And apparently, both of these homes are on the same lot, and they are both somehow connected to her, and they were connected to her father, but the city thinks that she owns them both. So the block numbers should be the same, but the lot numbers should be different. So there's some confusion here. Her only hope is to get them to change the lot number by subdividing the two properties, which, by the way, obviously happened on some level a long time ago when somebody bought the other property and her dad bought this property. But somehow it's always been considered one piece of property by the city. And the deeds show that's owned by somebody else. She owns this. We don't go by the deeds. We go by the block numbers or lot numbers or whatever. So she had to hire an architect to file paperwork. And the Department of Buildings and the Department of Finance are not communicating, so they keep disapproving of it. So they've told her, here's what you need to do. She's tried to do it. And trust me, hiring an architect probably isn't cheap. So 7 on Your Side, the TV station, alerted both buildings and the finance departments. And here's the thing. This is the phone call they get. Somebody at some office that's overworked, desk this deep in garbage, stuff. Phone rings. Yeah. Hi, I'm a reporter with Channel 7 ABC News in New York City, and we're doing a story about your department and a problem there. Now, the person who answers that phone has a choice. They can either say, I'm not allowed to talk about that, and hang up, and then hope they don't call back. Or they can go, oh, this one here might turn into a story that makes us all look bad. Maybe I should take care of this. So 7 on Your Side called both the buildings and the finance departments. And they both, as a result, started working with Wilson to subdivide the lots. So it took a TV station making that phone call. Finally, about 2 months later, her name was taken off her neighbor's property. And the $259,000 in violations were dismissed as to her. There's no mention here of whether they were assigned to the other people or not. It just says they were dismissed. The fruit of her father's hard work and her inheritance was finally free and clear. So you can imagine the nightmare that you're living in a home that you know you own. You've done everything necessary so that anybody who looks up the property ownership will say, yeah, this person owns that property. City knows it, state knows it, you pay property taxes on it. But for some weird reason, some department in New York City is sending fines and things to you saying, you are in violation of the law, you owe us this money. And it's for the house next door. You go, wait, that's such a simple thing to fix. And I don't know if it's simply they have antiquated systems or if there's just people who are overworked. I don't know. It could be all kinds of stuff going on there. But the interesting thing is how quickly it got fixed. Now, it does say it took about 2 months. 2 months. But it had been going on for years. And that's the weird part. So she said that the problem started when she got the house decades ago. But I'm not quite sure how you live with these things hanging over your head, wondering about that. But it raises the question that I get asked about quite a bit. And people will often call my office and say, Steve, I've got a problem. Can you help me with it? And I'll discuss whether I can help them or not with it. And then they say, well, you know something? Instead of going to court, I'm going to call a TV station. Or I'm going to call the newspaper. Or I'm going to call, you know, whoever. And they're talking about somebody in the media. And here's the thing. I actually know a lot of people in the media. I actually know people who work at these consumer assisting programs at different TV stations and radio stations. And I've known people like that in the industry for a long time. And here's the problem. Most people have problems that are common because most people have got them. That is, people who've got those problems. So I'll have someone call my office and say, Steve, I bought a used car as is from a dealership and the transmission failed on it 6 months later. I want to sue them. I say, you're not going to win that case. That's hopeless. They'll say, okay, well, I'm going to call a TV station. And I actually asked a very good friend of mine who's at WDIV for years in Detroit. And I asked her, I go, what's the most common phone calls you get? Without even hesitating, she goes, used cars, used cars. And I go, really? And she goes, yeah. And she had an assistant and people worked for her. And she said, all day long, people call her about used cars. I bought a used car, the transmission failed. I bought a used car. And here's the thing. If you're in the news business, I understand they say, you know, hey, we're on your side. We're working for you and Eyewitness News and all that. What they're really trying to do is they're trying to get people to watch the news. And so what people want to see, whether they ever say this or not, is they want to see stuff that's different and unusual and what's happening out there. And so if they're getting 100 phone calls in a period of time about used cars and they're all the same, by definition, none of them are news. But also, who wants to hear that? Because as you can imagine, have you ever known anybody who bought a used car as a piece of junk? You probably do. In that case, when you see one that hits the news, you go, why is this on the news? That's not news. And so the story's got to have some real angle to it. Now, the weird part is, in my career, I've actually told people, you should call the news with this story. Or if you'd like me to, I will, because I know somebody there. But that's when someone's got the story that is completely different, very, very unusual, very, very unique, and it's the kind of thing likely to get solved by publicity. Because there are companies that don't care. So the idea that you can simply get the news involved and that'll solve your problem, that's not always true. There are some businesses out there that do not care. They don't care. And so they'll say, oh, they're covering us in the news. Hey, good publicity. Any publicity is good publicity, right? So the idea that if you have a problem, you can simply contact the news, it's got to be news. And so that's the old joke about, you know, dog bites man is not news. Man bites dog, there you go, that's news. I wouldn't recommend you bite your dog, but that's the point. It's got to be unusual, it's got to be different. So in this case, I assure you that when somebody called the TV station and said, I've lived in this home for decades, I keep getting notices for the house next door, they're threatening me with $250,000 in fines, and I've shown it to them over and over and over again, and they keep saying, doesn't matter what you tell us, our system says this, and even though the deed says that, we got to blindly go by what our system tells us. That right there, my friends, is a news story, and that's why they jumped on this at ABC7 New York. So the other thing I always get asked about is people say, what about writing to the CEO of the company? And that's one where theoretically, it might work. But I always tell people that, you know, it's all, anything you do in life is a cost-benefit analysis. You write an email to a CEO and they don't respond to it. What did it cost you? It cost you the time it took you to look up their email address and send them an email. But I had people tell me that, well, instead of a lawsuit, I'm going to write a letter or an email to a CEO. And I'm always, well, I'll still be here when you call me back in a week. because CEOs generally either don't respond, they don't look at their own emails, not the public one, or if they respond, it's you're going to get back a canned response. Thank you very much for your communication, and we've assigned it to somebody who's going to look at it. And if they feel it's necessary, they'll get back to you. They never will. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't work in that direction and contact a CEO to complain. I'm simply saying that the odds of it doing anything for you are very slim. And in response to that statement, I'm going to get a ton of people below saying, Steve, I did it and it worked. Okay. I'm not saying it didn't work. But I'm saying that if you could right now watch how much mail, real and electronic, is sent to the CEO or president of Ford Motor Company about bad cars, it's more mail than you can imagine. It's probably more mail than you've got in your entire life. And I'm talking about how much mail they get this week. So you really think that in that sea of stuff, your letter or email is going to stand out and get you the help you need? I doubt it. But like I said, try it. You're only going to be out your time. But I wouldn't bank on that or do that instead of pursuing your legal options if you've got good legal options. That's all I'm saying. So here's the crazy story out of New York. The woman wrongfully fined $259,000 for neighbor's violations in Brooklyn. ABC7 New York ran it. Nina Pineda wrote it. Al, Frank, Alita, Jason, Mark, Philip, and Todd all sent it. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Life is all about enjoying every sunset and looking forward to the next sunrise.